Digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
Whatever you've planned next is going to fail. Just like everything else you've tried today.
Almost 40 dead in a train crash. Many more near the San Gabriel Island nuclear plant.
We managed to stop the other 103 power plants from melting down. That's what America will remember, that we stopped you.
No. This country will forever be afraid to let their leaders appear in public.
For all the hatred that you have for this country, you don't understand it very well.
Jack short-circuits the wires of a telephone junction box.
Number one, the police report file has been distributed. In the next few minutes, CTU will be alerted that a military pilot and his family are missing.
What do you think we should do?
We have to make sure CTU is too busy to realize its significance.
Jack Bauer is alive and in my custody. I will return him to you unharmed in exchange for Beru's Arras.
This is Bill Buchanan from Division. He'll be overseeing the operation.
Let's talk about what happens if we don't agree to the exchange.
We don't get Jack Bauer back, for one thing.
That can't be the deciding factor here.
Well, most importantly, if we don't go through with this exchange, we may lose an opportunity to trap Marwan.
Is my mother in the van? She was working with you. Where is she?
I don't know.
I don't want to die.
CTU agents take out Marwan's sniper.
Sniper's down! Let's move out! Move.
Why'd you give him the kid?
It's okay, but double tagged. We'll be tracking.
I managed to short-circuit some phone lines in the building that I was being held. If you can find two service obstructions at the same coordinates, we can get to Marwan.
We have a location where Marwan was holding Jack.
Yes.
There's a problem. Just as I was about to do a pre-flight check, they grounded the plane.
Resolve this now.
Did you make a report to the chief mechanical officer?
I'm just about to head over there right now.
Don't let me hold you up.
It's just a false alarm. All right. I'll clear it for takeoff.
Anderson pilots a stealth fighter.
The following takes place between 10 p.m. and 11 p.m.
We placed multiple trackers on Beru's Arras, but those are no longer transmitting, which means that Marwan's men found and destroyed them.
Are you close to finding Marwan?
We may be, sir. Jack Bauer managed to tag the location where he was being held. We're preparing to mount a raid on that location as we speak.
Well, I want Marwan found. Now. I've asked Secret Service to secure a landing site so I can be on the ground to address the nation before the 11 o'clock news.
Sir, we believe that you're safer in the air right now.
I have been flying for 20 hours. The American people need to hear from me now, not tomorrow.
Then may I suggest you do it from Air Force One? It may not be optimal, but at least you'll get your message across.
I appreciate your concerns, but I'm going to give my speech when I get to Los Angeles. I'll inform the press corps. Give them enough time to notify their outlets.
Yes, Mr. President.
Just make sure I'm briefed on Bauer's progress before I go on the air.
Of course. What's Jack's status?
His team just arrived at Marwan's location. They should be in place in a few minutes.
Jack arrives at the assault team rendezvous, close to Marwan's abandoned warehouse. Jack to Chloe.
CTU, calm.
This is Bauer. Strike teams are moving into final position. We're about 5 minutes out. How are you on your end?
We're coordinating backup teams. We have building plans online.
Chloe?
Yeah, it's me. Michelle brought me back in.
Good. Are the satellites in position?
Yes, we've been monitoring the area for the past 5 minutes, but there's been no activity.
How's Paul Raines doing? Is he still in surgery?
No, he just got out.
Chloe, I'm glad to have you back. We're going to need your help. Look, is Audrey there?
I think so.
Let me speak to her.
Hold on.
Audrey keeps her vigil outside the operating theater.
Hello?
Audrey, I have Jack on the line.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hold for Jack.
Okay.
Audrey?
Jack, you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. How's Paul doing?
They just finished operating. They said he's gonna make it. I'm waiting to talk to the doctors.
Good, I'm glad. Look, Audrey, I know we have to talk about how I handled everything with Paul.
Yeah, we do. It's really hard right now.
Yeah, I understand.
Are you still out in the field?
Yeah, we're getting ready to move on Marwan.
Be careful.
Yeah, I'll call you as soon as it's done.
Yeah. Right.
Jack glances across to a complex of featureless industrial units. Buchanan to Michelle and Tony.
I just got off the phone with DOD. They want to know what our status is.
Jack's team has been deployed to Marwan's location. You should begin the assault any minute.
Did you get a read on how many hostiles are inside?
Based on the inference scan, we counted 8.
Did we pick up voice transmission that could indicate that one of them is Marwan?
No, but we know he was there 25 minutes ago when Jack left the building.
If the information on that hard drive is discovered by the Americans,
it'll jeopardize the next phase of our plan.
Well, it's not here.
No, you haven't looked hard enough.
I've been searching for almost an hour.
Aziz told one of his men he hid a backup copy of those files in his apartment.
Well, why didn't Aziz tell you where he hid it?
Because he was killed before he could tell me.
Look, Anderson shared this apartment with Aziz. Maybe Anderson knows where the hard drive is.
Keep looking. I'll try to contact him.
10:06. Anderson takes off from the airbase runway.
Bravo 3-9 are in the air, heading 552.
Roger, Bravo 3-9, you are cleared for 35,000 feet.
Bravo 3-9 are ascending to 35,000 feet.
Anderson receives a call by satellite phone.
322, cover that downwind, 4-5.
I'm in the air. I should reach the target in 45 minutes.
We have a problem.
What kind of problem?
Aziz, he hid a backup copy of his files in your apartment on hard drive. We haven't been able to find it.
Ask Aziz.
Aziz is dead.
I don't know about a hard drive.
You have no idea where he might have kept it.
If I knew where it was, I'd tell you. I'm not trying to get myself killed.
I'll get back to you.
British Sky Broadcasting presents 24, starring Kiefer Sutherland as Jack Bauer, Kim Raver as Audrey Raines, Carlos Bernard as Tony Almeida, and Rico Ellsworth as Michelle Dessler. Created by Joel Surnow and Robert Cochran. Voiced by Tim Bruce on behalf of MCS Agency. Marwan notices telephone wires sparking in a junction box and immediately suspects. He hurries over to his central command room and opens the security lock to a wallside cabinet. He arms the system and removes a remote detonator device. Meanwhile, Jack briefs Agent Castle and his team.
Okay, in order to flush Marwan out, I want you to lead your men down the main corridor. He'll try and escape through the left flank. That's where I'll find him.
Attack team's ready to go in on your work.
Have they set the charges on the door?
Yes.
Gentlemen, we are a go.
We've got a green light. Teams A and B, move into position.
Jack climbs into a heavy jeep packed with agents and assault gear, and they speed towards Marwan's warehouse.
All teams moving on target.
Prepare to ignite charges on my mark. 3, 2, 1. Blow the door!
The jeep crashes through the exploding doors and armed SWAT teams flood into the warehouse. The terrorists put up fierce resistance.
Go, go, move, move, move!
Marwan escapes upstairs. His computer technician tries to destroy the evidence.
Delete the files. Delete everything.
Both sides sustain heavy losses as the SWAT teams build on their initial advantage and push the terrorists further and further back. Eventually, the main warehouse area is secured. Jack works his way around to a side room and hides as he sees an approaching hostile. He takes out his flick knife and stabs him mercilessly in the stomach, propping him against some packing cases with his weight. Immediately, he watches for further danger as he swaps his silent knife for the range of his gun. As he slips away, the corpse slides to the floor. Marwan continues towards the roof. CTU monitor progress. Jack sidesteps out from behind a stack of packages and advances only a few yards before a hostile charges towards him, firing his gun. Jack takes him down, but another fires at him with an Uzi. Luckily, Jack picks him off as he reloads. Jack works his way down the corridor until he reaches Marwan's command center. Despite determined resistance, particularly from the technician, Jack penetrates into the room and starts to pick off the hostiles one by one. SWAT teams converge on the room from all directions and quickly overwhelm its beleaguered occupants.
Hold your fire!
Clear!
Methodically, Jack checks the face of each martyred corpse.
Marwan's not here. Notify the perimeter.
Team 1 and Team 2, come in. Marwan is not in the building. Maintain your perimeter.
Come on!
Hacking at a computer.
I can't stop this thing from deleting.
Files scroll down part of the screen. 10-11. Marwan pulls out the remote device, extends its aerial, and presses a button to charge up the detonator.
This doesn't make sense.
Jack sees a red light flashing beneath a computer desk.
This room's hot. Get your men out of here. Get your men!
Explosions throw the men through the air.
Jack, what's happening? What's going on over there?
You okay?
Yeah, it's over.
Check your men!
Jack, if you can hear me, respond.
Michelle! Marwan's escaped. He just blew up the hard drive to all his computers. He's trying to cover his tracks. I'm going off comm. If you want me, I'm going to be on my cell.
Chloe, get data forensics in there now and start a hard target search for Marwan.
Although badly injured, Marwan's technician is still alive.
Give me a medic! Medic!
You can't stop it.
Stop what?
Within the hour.
What's gonna happen within the hour? What's gonna happen within the hour?
Jack sits helplessly as the technician dies. Ten 12. End of part one. Part two. 10-17. The surgeon to Audrey.
Rains.
Yes.
Your husband's in recovery.
How is he?
He's stable, but one of the bullets did some damage to his spine. Right now, he's paralyzed from the waist down.
Is it permanent?
It's too early to tell. It'll take weeks, maybe months, before we fully understand the extent of damage to his spine.
So it's possible he could regain the use of his legs?
It's possible, yes.
But not likely.
Again, it's too early to tell. We could go over the details later, but I'd be lying to you if I told you I was optimistic. A lot depends on his attitude, his support system, emotional as well as medical.
She glances at Paul through a window.
Does he know?
Yes, I just told him. I'm sure he'd like to see you.
She watches him through the glass a moment, gathers her strength as she presses her head against the frosted glass door, then purposefully walks into Paul's post-op recovery room. A nurse tends him as he sits upright in bed.
Excuse me, can you give us a minute, please?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Audrey stands quietly at the foot of his bed, her arms folded.
Don't you even think of feeling sorry for me. Whatever they say, I'm gonna walk again.
I know you will.
He smiles, and Audrey smiles with him. She sits by his bed.
So, where's Jack?
He's still out in the field. He called a little while ago and wanted to know how you were doing. He knows that bullet was meant for him.
I was just trying to push him out of the way. I didn't expect to get shot myself.
What you did was very, very brave, Paul.
With great emotion, Audrey takes Paul's hand, kisses it and affectionately caresses it against her cheek. Tony to Michelle.
LAPD's widening the search perimeter. So far, they're coming up empty.
Jack said something might happen within the hour if we don't find Marwan.
We're going to find him.
Did you secure Marwan yet?
No, he must have slipped through the perimeter.
How the hell could you let that happen?
Doesn't matter how it happened. What matters is that he's gone and we're doing everything we can to find him.
What exactly are you doing?
We've widened the perimeter, set up a search grid. State police and LAPD are conducting a sweep.
Jack's online too. He says he's got something.
I want a speaker.
Jack, it's Michelle. You're also on with Tony and Bill Buchanan from Division.
Okay, look. Marwan had an area set up for forging documents. Some of them made it through the explosion. We managed to secure a number of names and faces. Agent Castle's uploading them to your server now. I want you to cross-reference them with a watch list.
We'll get on it right away.
Okay, get back to me if you got a match.
Edgar.
I'm initializing the facial recognition software now.
Good.
Yes, sure. Listen, I'm sorry if I snapped.
It's okay. We're all under a lot of pressure.
You holding up?
I'm fine.
Tony witnesses Buchanan comforting Michelle with a touch on the shoulder.
Edgar, how's that uplink?
Coming up.
Chloe, how long has Buchanan been in Division?
I don't know. It took them a while to fill Chappelle's position. 6 months?
Where was he before that?
Seattle, I think.
Seattle?
Yeah, that's where Michelle was posted while you were in jail, right?
Yeah. Thanks.
Got a match.
A photo file scrolls down on Edgar's screen. Michelle contacts Jack at the warehouse.
Miss Bauer?
Jack, we have a match on one of those photos. He's on the FBI watch list. His name is Mitch Anderson.
What do we got on him?
Ex-military, arrested for drug possession, served time in military prison, was dishonorably discharged 4 years ago. Since then, he's been hired as a mercenary in a number of conflicts around the world. He came back to the U.S. about a year ago.
Is he under active investigation?
He was moved up the list when we raised the alert, but he wasn't made a priority. The Bureau sent an agent over to check out his apartment.
Has the agent checked back in yet?
They still may be in transit.
Okay, I want you to get me an address on Anderson. Start digging up as much information as you can and get me a contact number for the FBI agent.
I'm on it.
10:22. A severe-looking woman knocks on the door of a modern apartment.
FBI, I'm looking for Mitch Anderson. This is FBI Agent Drake. Please open the door.
Inside, Nicole, the woman hired by Marwan to seduce Flight Captain John Hansen, scuttles behind a pillar for cover. Agent Drake cautiously turns the handle, opens the apartment door, and enters in, gun at the ready. Finding no one, she drops her guard, and as Drake reaches for a cell phone, Nicole shoots her dead. Her phone begins to ring in her lifeless hand. Nicole picks it up, reads Agent Drake's name on her FBI badge, and answers.
Agent Drake.
Hi, my name is Jack Bauer. I'm working with CTU. I'm looking for a man named Mitch Anderson. Your office said you were investigating him?
I just got to his apartment a few minutes ago.
What do you mean, he's not there?
No. Why is CTU involved? Is there new information about Anderson?
We have evidence connecting him to a man named Habib Marwan. Marwan's been responsible for all the terrorist activity earlier today. We also have reason to believe he's planning another attack.
Well, how is Anderson involved?
I'll advise you when I get there.
How far away are you?
About 10 minutes out.
I'll be here.
Thank you.
10:28. Marwan hides in the doorway of an obscure alley. A van appears and drives towards him. As it pulls up nearby, it flashes a signal with its headlamps. Marwan runs towards it, jumps inside, and the van drives away. Inside, Marwan contacts one of his associates.
Yes?
We had a slight delay. I'm heading over there now.
What about Anderson?
He's in the air, on his way to the target. Everything's on schedule. Are your people in place?
Yes. We're ready to deploy.
Good. I'll see you when we arrive.
President Keeler looks over a speech on Air Force One.
Sorry, but this just isn't cutting it. The tone is all wrong.
Sir, maybe I could give the speechwriters a clearer idea of what you want.
This is one of the most traumatic days in the history of this country. What I want is a speech that is equal to the occasion. Give me a few minutes, will you, Robert? Let me think about this a little while longer.
Of course, Mr. President.
When Robert, ask my son to step in, will you?
Yes, sir.
As Keeler stares grimly through Venetian blinds, his preppy all-American son arrives.
Well, a quick trip to Mexico, low-key state visit, and then we'd finally have some time to spend together.
It's okay. The press corps has been keeping me entertained.
You know, ever since your mother died, I promised myself I'd be there for you.
You've been doing what you had to do.
I could use your help right about now. I'm going to be addressing the nation in about 1 hour. I still don't have a speech that I'm happy with.
No speechwriter.
No, I know. But you've got a level head. And you're about the most decent person I know. As far as I'm concerned, you represent the very best this country has to offer. So, what do you want to hear the president say when he addresses you tonight?
The truth.
Keeler returns to the comfort of his Venetian vantage point.
We've been attacked by terrorists. Americans are dead. The man responsible is still at large, and we are by no means certain that we can catch him before he strikes again. What happened earlier may be nothing compared to what happens next. That's the truth, Kevin. Is that what you think I should say? Neither do I. But the fact remains, I have to say something.
You want me to help you figure it out?
Absolutely.
10:31. Jack arrives at Anderson's apartment with another agent as backup. As they knock on the door, they notice it is left unlocked.
Drake? Agent Drake.
They enter, their guns leading the way. They split up. Jack spots a woman pointing a gun at him and immediately responds in kind.
Drop the weapon! Drop the weapon now!
Are you Agent Bauer?
Yes, now holster your weapon!
I need to see your ID.
I don't have identification. I'm working with CTU on a provisional basis. I talked to you 10 minutes ago. You can call division and confirm.
Agent Drake, just take it easy. He's with me. Agent Hart, CTU. Now I'm gonna holster my gun, and I'm gonna show you my credentials.
Agent Hart shows the woman his badge. She holsters her gun into a sober trouser suit taken from Drake's dead body.
I'm sorry. But with everything that happened today, you can't be too careful.
I understand.
Agent Bauer, we just intercepted a call indicating that Anderson was in possession of computer files that could tell us Marwan's next target.
What's the source of the intercepted call?
I'm still waiting for the details.
Did you find the apartment in this condition?
No, my ASAC thinks that Anderson may have hidden a backup copy of the files here. I was trying to find it.
Right now, Anderson's our only lead. We're gonna stay here and help you finish the job. Canvas. I'll take upstairs.
As Jack climbs the stairs, Agent Hart begins to investigate painted vases and homely knickknacks on a stack of shelves. Meanwhile, Marwan receives another call from Anderson.
Where are you?
I'm almost in position.
What's the problem?
Is my cover in place?
I've told you before, yes. You'll be 100% safe.
Marwan, they have to believe I'm dead.
They will. My people have taken care of this.
They better. Because once this is done, the entire world is going to be looking for me.
End of part two. 10:38. Chloe on the telephone.
I understand. Yeah, I'll tell him. Thanks, Ruben. Edgar.
Yeah.
I have some bad news. Do you want me to tell you here or somewhere private?
What?
I just got off the phone with Ruben Weiss from OSHA, and he said they're not going to be able to get into the area where your mother died for a few weeks, maybe months.
Why not?
Think about it. Half-life? Radiation?
What does that mean?
Well, he didn't spell it out, but I think that means you're going to have a funeral without the body. Your mother.
I can't deal with this right now, Chloe. Michelle needs prioritized list for Marwan's pursuit plan.
Oh. Okay, good.
As Chloe sadly walks away, she has another thought and returns.
Do you want me to do that for you?
No.
Silently, Edgar tries to hold in the pain behind his watery eyes. Chloe watches him with concern. Meanwhile, Tony watches Michelle and Buchanan.
LAPD's locked down the area where Marwan was last seen. I need you to review the search grid.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Michelle. What were you planning on telling me?
About what?
About you and Buchanan.
Never, because it's none of your business.
Michelle. Before you worked with him at Division, you worked with him in Seattle in Homeland Security Restructuring, right?
Yeah.
We were still married then.
Legally, yes.
Did you sleep with him while we were married?
No. I didn't.
But you are now.
Like I said, it's none of your business. Edgar, where are those updates?
Coming right up.
Edgar absentmindedly taps at his keyboard and converts the file ready for downloading onto disk. Chloe monitors Edgar from a window on her desktop and instantly spots his mistake.
Edgar, what are you doing?
Edgar places the finished disc into a jewel case, but before he's able to hand it to Michelle, Chloe intervenes.
Miss Deslin?
Edgar, wait.
What?
Oh, wait, before you turn that in, I made a mistake. I used row major format instead of column major.
Why would you do that, Chloe? You know row major isn't compatible with our software. It'll bring all our processors to a crawl.
I know, it was a mistake. I thought it was going to division.
We'll fix it.
Chloe marches back to her workstation.
Chloe, that was my mistake. Why'd you cover for me?
You're welcome.
You'd have had your job back if you wouldn't let me hand in a disc.
I thought you had a lot on your mind.
Each in their own way, they both return to their work. Back at Anderson's chic modern apartment, Nicole, a.k.a. Agent Drake, looks around to check she's not being watched, then half-heartedly pretends to search through a drawer of CDs. Jack spies her from the upper level and becomes suspicious. By the time she looks up to find out what he's doing, Jack has left his vantage point to carry on with the upstairs search. He enters a large walk-in wardrobe and checks beneath neatly folded piles of clothes. Just as Nicole resumes her dubious search, Agent Hart returns to the apartment.
Agent Bauer! Yeah?
Jack finds an empty suit cover on the floor. Inside, he finds a small plastic bag with a manufacturer's label. Hart joins him on the landing.
I checked with the neighbors.
Nobody's seen Mitch Anderson today.
Did you talk to the manager?
Yeah, Anderson kept himself. Paid his run on time. The ideal tenant.
Okay, thanks. Agent Drake?
Yes?
Anderson was ex-military, dishonorably discharged. This bag is from Vanguard Mills. They manufacture metals for the armed forces. There's a date stamp on it, 3 months old. Anderson left the military 4 years ago.
You think he's currently posing as military?
It's a distinct possibility. I want you to let your people know we'll do the same. Have this scan, send it over to Chloe at CTU.
You got it?
Jack makes a phone call on his cell. Nicole pretends to do the same, but carefully switches off her phone before talking.
This is Special Agent Drake. Can you put me through to Dawson, please? Thank you.
Agent Hart joins Nicole in the downstairs sitting room, lifts out a laptop from his sports bag, and sets it up on a cupboard. Jack to Tony.
CTU Almeida.
Tony, it's Jack. We just found some evidence that indicates that Anderson might be posing as military. I want you to update the profile, see if anything comes back.
All right, I'm on it.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, this is Drake. We found credible evidence suggesting that Anderson is disguised as military. That's right. Yes. Fine.
As Nicole continues her phony conversation, Hart discovers the plug socket he tries is equally phony and investigates.
No, that's not a problem. Good. All right. Well, thanks. I'll let you know if we find anything else.
Hey, I found something.
It's an external hard drive. This is exactly what we're looking for.
It's good work.
Nicole stabs him in the neck with a screwdriver and places him quietly on the wooden floor. Something drops from his dying hand and the sound alerts Jack. Meanwhile, Nicole tucks the hard drive into her trousers, pulls out a gun from its holster and slowly creeps towards the stairs. By now, Jack has his gun at the ready and looks down from the relative safety of the landing to see Hart's motionless body sprawled on the floor. He bides his time until he has a clear view of Nicole and her murderous intent. He shifts into a better position, aims his gun, and challenges her.
Drop the weapon!
She opens fire and hides behind a pillar. Jack fires three shots into the pillar, which penetrate the brickwork and kill her instantly. Her limp body slides lifelessly to the ground. Pointing his gun before him, Jack hurries down the stairs towards her. He checks her pulse, but she's dead. He spots the metallic hard drive poking out of the top of her trousers, examines it, then goes to check on Agent Hart. He steps over Hart's body, takes his laptop, plugs in the external hard drive and sets it up on a table. Jack hacks impatiently. ...10:46. He gains access to the hard drive only to find all the files security locked. Jack reaches for his cell and contacts CTU.
Styles.
Edgar, it's Jack. Where's Chloe?
She's busy doing a systems update.
Okay, I need you to tell Michelle and Tony that the FBI agent that I met at Anderson's apartment was an imposter working for Marwan. I killed her, but not before she took out my backup. CT needs to send out a team, lock down the apartment, and initiate an investigation.
Do you want to tell him yourself?
No, you can tell him in a second. Right now, I need you to help me pull some data off a hard drive. The directory's locked. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to put you on speakerphone. I'm set. Go ahead.
Can you get into the root?
Yeah, but I can't open the files.
Okay, hold down tab arrow until the manufacturer's code appears.
Okay, I got it.
What are the last three digits on the part code?
R25.
Escape out and enter passcode CTIS83R. That should backdoor you into the files.
Multiple windows begin to pop open, revealing photographs and detailed schematics of an American stealth fighter.
Jack, did it work?
Yeah, I'm in. I need to speak to Michelle and Tony now.
Hold on, I'll get him.
Jack's on the line.
Jack, what is it?
I pulled some data off a hard drive that we found hidden in Anderson's apartment. On it is a flight simulator and full schematics to an F-117A stealth fighter.
Anderson's an experienced pilot.
I know. I also think he's posing as military. I believe Mitch Anderson's trying to steal a stealth fighter.
10:48. End of part 3. Part 4. 10:53. Jack en route.
Almeida.
Tony, I'm on my way in. Have you gotten anything from the Air Force?
Hang on, it's coming through. Satchel Air Command reports that an F-117A stealth fighter took off on a scheduled mission about 40 minutes ago. Now, the pilot did not call in on schedule. That was about 6 minutes ago. All attempts to contact that pilot have failed.
Okay, that's it. We have to assume Anderson's flying that plane.
Yeah, I agree.
Is the aircraft armed?
Yeah, standard non-nuclear ordnance.
We're gonna have to work up a list of obvious possible targets.
Yeah, right. I'm working that up right now.
Wait. Air Force One is headed to L.A.
Jack, do you hear that?
Yeah, what's the ETA?
11 p.m.
Oh, my God. They're going after the president.
I'll call Air Force One.
Tony, we don't have a lot of time. I need you to get me the recall frequency for that plane's squadron. And send Anderson's bio over to my screen.
Yeah, I'm on it.
Where's Buchanan?
He's in tactical, talking directly to the military.
Tell him he's going to have to tell the Joint Chiefs of Staff that we believe the likely target is President Keeler aboard Air Force One.
You really have been helpful, Kevin. I think this speech strikes just the right note.
Mr. President, I'm sorry to interrupt. It's Michelle Destler at CTU. She says it's urgent.
Yes, what is it, Ms. Destler?
Mr. President, we have reason to believe that a stealth fighter has been stolen by a terrorist and is in your airspace as we speak.
Well, this plane is due to land shortly, and I'm about to address the country. Just how sure are we about this?
It's a near certainty, Mr. President. We've informed your pilot, and he's preparing to combine evasive action with immediate descent. You're cleared to land in Palm Springs.
I'm sure my escort fighters are perfectly capable of protecting Air Force One.
Mr. President, this is a stealth aircraft, invisible to radar. If he finds you, he may be on you before your fighter escort can react.
What are the chances he'll find us?
We can't be sure, Mr. President. But the radar signature of a 747 and four fighter planes is unmistakable.
They're telling me that this stolen stealth plane will attempt to shoot me down.
It looks that way, Mr. President.
I see.
Dan?
It's gonna be okay. Seems our plane may come under attack. We're going to take some precautions. Get me the vice president on the phone.
Yes, sir.
As Robert leaves, Keeler sits at the briefing room table to contemplate, his anxious son by his side. 10:55. Tony patches Anderson's service record through to Jack in his four-track.
All right, Jack, it should be coming through right now.
Yeah, I got it.
Not much to go on. Parents deceased. There's a sister named Alicia. Looks like they might have lived together at the same address for a number of years, so they might be close.
Any recent contact information?
No, let me see if I can find that for you.
No, we don't have any time. Have you got the recall frequency?
Yeah.
Get ready to patch me through to Anderson.
Copy that.
Chloe monitors the flight on radar.
Air Force One is descending through 20,000 feet. Fighters have formed a protective shield.
How long before it touches down?
9 minutes.
Fighters report no sign of stealth aircraft?
Not yet.
Maybe it's not there.
It's there, we just can't see it. Being beaten by our own technology.
Jack, you're set.
When you hit your intercom button, you'll be patched through to the stealth fighter.
Copy that.
Anderson plows through a clear night sky. A flashing indicator reads, target range, 20 miles. Jack to Anderson.
Mitch Anderson, can you hear me? Captain Anderson, do you read me? My name is Jack Bauer. I'm a federal agent. We know who you are. We know what you're trying to do. Sir, I know you can hear me. Nothing you've done so far can't be undone. All you have to do is change your vector to heading 115 southeast. That'll put you on a fast track to Edwards Air Force Base. Once you touch down, then we can discuss how you want to handle this. Please just talk to me. Explain to me what you're trying to do. What you're trying to accomplish. Why?
I've been going over your service record. It's very impressive. Graduated top of your class, Air Force Academy. Highly decorated for your service in Desert Storm, including Air Force Silver Star. What happened to you? Explain it to me. Because what you're trying to do right now, I don't think that's who you are. I don't think that's how you want to be remembered.
Target range, 10 miles.
If I go down, you have to stay the course. Do you understand?
Mr. President, I'm sure it won't come to that.
Charles, you're the vice president. The nation will be relying on you.
If the worst happens, think of me as a casualty of war. Don't waste time. Just pick up the torch and move forward.
Yes, sir, Mr. President.
10:58.
Mr. President, we think CTU is in communication with the pilot of the stolen aircraft.
Hatch it through.
Sir, I've just been notified by the FBI that they've contacted your sister, Alicia. They've advised her of what's happening. She's scared. She wants to talk to you. All you have to do, Captain Anderson, is respond to me, and I'll put it right through.
Anderson angrily jabs his finger at an off switch.
Captain Anderson. Captain Anderson, Chloe, I think we've been cut off. Is there an override channel?
He's cut off all communication circuits. I don't think there's anything we can do.
Damn it!
The indicator reads, target range, 5 miles. Another states, target acquired. An agitated Keeler paces up and down aboard Air Force One. His son gets up from the table and walks nervously towards him.
Dad. I'm scared.
Father and son warmly embrace. Anderson presses a button on his control column and launches an air-to-air missile. Its trajectory cuts a trail across Chloe's radar.
Oh my God.
Was Air Force One just hit? Was Air Force One just hit?
Escort pilots report. Air Force One has suffered an indirect hit by an air-to-air missile. Pieces are falling to the ground over the desert.
...11 p.m. The end.